Father, that that when it comes down to it, God, that your power is far beyond what we can even fathom. And God, we sing this that we've just sung in awe of you. And God, I just ask that you would be with us as we hear Pastor Devin bring your word, Father, and help us to keep once again like we sang a while ago. We said we will set our hearts on you, Father. Help us to set our hearts on you. Because if we don't do that, then we're missing the point entirely. God, we love you. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You have a seat. Would the children come forward for Children's Church? Let's pray for them real quick. God, we just ask that you would be with these children as they go off and learn about you, God. Just even with their little hearts and their little minds, God, we just ask that you would work inside of them to draw them to you, Father, to make them into people who love you and who know you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
There we go. You can hear me fine. What? Okay, there you can. How many of you watched the game last week? So anyway, I tell you. Well, I think they probably deserved the cup this year. Last year was a disaster. This year, we'll kind of allow it. Ah, what a game. How are you all doing? Good. Has something ever creeped up on you and you haven't noticed until, boom, it hits you? You know? Like, I don't know, your spouse's birthday. You know, maybe your anniversary date that you missed. You know, and you can't believe it. We turn around, and we're already in the second Sunday of Advent. Wow! It's hard to believe that another year has already slipped us by. Has that ever happened to you, where you just kind of go, huh? You mean we're in December? Has that ever happened? Anybody? Yeah, good, you're there. I was wondering, just checking. Yeah, you know, things can just creep up, and all of a sudden we're so tired, we don't know how we're going to make it through. How many of you are tired today? You can have a nap for about an hour, I'll be. Well, this pastor, he was the very first day of leading a group from his church. They were going on a Christmas tour to the Holy Land. Sounds inviting. And he found himself dealing with a number of crises. And first of all, the bus that transported the tour group to the airport broke down on the way. And they were in danger of missing their flight. And they finally arrived at the airport, and they discovered the plane had been delayed for about 3 hour wait. And when they finally landed, they had to deal with a mix-up in reservations at the hotel. And as a result, the group had almost no time to rest before they began their tour of the Holy Land. And about midway through the day's activities, the pastor saw this crowd had kind of gathered. And he noticed through the crowd there was a lady who was just laying flat on her back on the sidewalk. And he thought, what am I going to do? And so he kind of sifted his way through the crowd, and he made it right close up to her. And he finally knelt down, and he said, can you tell me what's wrong? And she said, I'm tired. and I need a rest. You know, some of you are so tired and you need a rest. You're probably right there today. You can't even think about Christmas. Some of us may be ready to go to sleep right now. But the message of Advent is wait. Wait. Long for. Look forward to. We're being called to a new awareness of the reason for our Advent celebration. The Christian should know this. It's always Christmas. It's always Christmas. And we should always be celebrative. But how? I mean, how can I find time to celebrate, let alone be happy? I mean, I came to church tonight. I mean, I was there. Didn't you see me? I was excited. How was church today? I was all right. What is Christmas? Did you have a good time? No, that was okay. Harriet got a new hat. You know, we miss the joy of Christmas. But why is that? Possibly it's because we've forgotten what Christmas is all about. Maybe we don't know, or maybe we neglect to remember Christmas. I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 1. It's a great passage of Scripture, and thank you, Pastor Brandon, for leading us today in worship and the Advent celebration today. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1 because it confirms what was read for you today. Beginning at verse 18, Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Talk about pressure. I think that there was pressure there. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. What a great passage. What a great passage of Scripture. To know Christmas is to know the name Jesus. The name Jesus. Some of us pretend to know the name Jesus. Others will use it conveniently at times when they figure it'll get them out of a sticky situation. We use the name Jesus. We come to Jesus when we want to. He's there for us when we need him. But do we know the name Jesus? See, Joseph, I'm sure Joseph was receiving some peer pressure. I'm sure that it was the talk of the town. You know what? Mary's pregnant, and it's not Joseph's. You're kidding. I better talk to Joseph. He better do the right thing and not marry her. You see, it's interesting how people think they know what's right. Mary comes and tells Joseph, I'm pregnant with God's son. What would you think if you were a person in that community at that time? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, Mary's pregnant with God's son. I got lots of words for Mary, but I won't tell Mary. I'll just tell someone else. I'll go to Joseph. See, and Joseph loved Mary. He was planning to marry her. I mean, what a surprise! Boom! That first Christmas was full of surprises. We often find Christmas a surprise, just like Joseph. We think of ways to excuse ourselves from the Christmas celebration. I want to tell you, you cannot have Christmas without Jesus. You can't have Christmas without Jesus. I think somehow we have moved away from that word Jesus. We have forgotten the most powerful meaning for the world. How do I know this? It's simple. We know the power of the name Jesus, yet we're almost selfish with it. We fear sharing our great knowledge with other people. It's like Erwin McManus. I was at a church conference, and he said that his church had started a new church plant, and it soon grew to over 300 people, and he closed it down. Couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I actually asked him, I said, I can't believe that you take a church of 300 and shut it down. He said, well, it was just 300 Christians from other churches who were dissatisfied coming together. We didn't reach anybody for Jesus. We wanted a place where non-church people were accepted so they could hear the name of Jesus. Ooh, that's scary. That's revolutionary. What a powerful name, Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The name Jesus. This is what Matthew records. And I've been trying to figure out why we can't just seem to get that word out there. Because if anyone has a greater reason for this season, it's the Christian. Right? I want you to look. There's a BC cartoon. I hope you can get it there, Jimmy. It's right there. Let's start this off. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Go to the next one. Next slide, I hope. Is there a next one? Is that it? Oh, there we go. And he runs off. The midnight skulker strikes again. Wait a minute. I'm the midnight skulker. Okay, and then the next one. What is the reason for the season? Next one. You is the reason for the season? Because he just saw the you. You get it. See? But the point of that is somehow we think we are the reason for the season. When really it's all about who? Jesus. You can shut that off because they're just going to watch that and I don't want them watching. Don't get upset with me. I'm not saying you should walk around going, Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. I'm not saying that you should be offensive with the word Jesus because we can do that. But I'm saying that Christmas is the most wonderful time of year in which we can spread that word Jesus and get away with it. People want to celebrate the reason for the season. They do. Hand out the greatest reason for the season. Give the word Jesus. Now I have to tell you, listen for this moment. What Jesus really means, it means Jehovah is salvation. So every time you say the word Jesus, you're saying Jehovah is salvation. In the Chronicle of Narnia, anybody watch The Lion and Witch in the Wardrobe? Anybody see it? There's a great line in the movie. It's a great line among the people of Narnia. Before the coming of Aslan, which is the Christ figure, they gracefully lament this. It's always winter, but never Christmas. Before the coming of Aslan, the Christ figure in The Lion, the Witch, Wardrobe, the people of Narnia lament, it's always winter, but never Christmas. And I'd say for some, even here today, there's only winter. There's no Christmas. They wait to hear the name that is above every name, the name Jesus. Yet we may be great saying it, we may even be wonderful at proclaiming it, but how do we show Christmas to those who don't know what it is? Well, we do Christmas hampers. Yeah, we do. Yeah, well, yeah, we're going to pin. By the way, that was somebody else's idea in the church. That was a great idea. Pin, and I won't say their name just in case. But you know, giving toques and scarves and mitts to the children is a great idea. But Christmas should be a time where we continue what we believe and what we demonstrate all year long. We can pray for one another. We can call someone who needs a bit of cheer. We can come alongside somebody who's hurting. We can cry with others. We can laugh with other people. We can demonstrate to the hurting what compassion is. That's what the Love One Another Project's all about. And that's the Christmas people need to see. All year long, people need Jesus. I love what the angel spoke to Joseph in verse 20. He said, do not be afraid. Don't be scared of this, Joseph. Don't be afraid of it. The greatest and simplest action gives reason for the season. You can know Christmas by knowing the name Jesus. But you can also know Christmas by the name Emmanuel. Now, events have a way of coming up on us quickly, and Christmas is one of those, and Joseph knows this all too well. This event was not unheard of. In fact, the name Emmanuel was not an unheard name. It was a prophesied name in Isaiah 7:14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be a child, will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Now, for us, names are usually associated with means of identification. Like I'm a seeker, so I try to get rid of that. But my wife, she was a Beckman, and she enjoyed coming into the Seegers family until she recognized who they were. But for the Jews, names were descriptive of character or designated a human event. Emmanuel. God with us. The transforming power of God becomes man. The greatest of all miracles is right in our heart. And we don't even see it sometimes. Christmas is not about you. It's not about a gift given. So much about God. Who gives life, who came to live among us. You see, God is suddenly no longer far off into the heavens. God is here. He's living among us, living within us. And that's why Christmas should not be a surprise to us. Christmas is always here, and it's always now. And that we should know. Every day we breathe. Oh, it's all about Christmas. The world packages it differently, and we're sold on the package because it becomes about us. Our executive minister sent this email, and he said, no one takes Christmas away from me. If anything, I give Christmas away when I don't prepare for it, reading and in prayer. I sacrifice to the business of a season my own responsibility to take Christmas back from the retail clutter and return it to its rightful place of worship, relationship, and preparation for the coming of Jesus into the world. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. That at your name, Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. There's two women who were enjoying a elaborate lunch in a downtown restaurant, and they were asked by their waiter, what is the occasion for such a celebrative, expensive time? And one lady said, well, we're celebrating the baby's birthday. And the inquirer looked around the waiter, and he noticed that there was no baby there. So he asked, he said, where's the baby? And the mother said, oh, you didn't think I'd bring him, did you? He doesn't know anything about this. Many of us celebrate Christmas the same way. We rush around observing all the things, buying the gifts, eating. But do we really stop? Do we really take a moment to lie on the sidewalk and to just drink in what really our life is all about? And that's Jesus. To believe that the God of creation, the ruler of the universe, the all-powerful, all-knowing God of heaven and earth, took on the form of a baby should be staggering to us. But that's exactly what's intended in the celebration termed Christmas. Don't forget, I'm just like you, Jesus says. Don't forget, I know what you walked through. Don't forget that I walked through an excruciating road so that you could be forgiven. Don't forget that I was born in a humble manger so that you could come to me with anything. All of your hurt and all of your pain, all of what you want so I can give you what you need. That's Jesus. That's Emmanuel. That is God with us. Let's pray. Sometimes we get caught in the trap of Christmas, that we think it's about everything our way, the gifts that I want, the dinner done exactly the way I want it to be done, the Christmas celebrations to be how I want them to be. Sometimes we get caught in the trimmings and the splendor that we forget really what Christmas is all about. Much like Joseph, we give in to pressure, similar to Mary. Christmas becomes a complete surprise so that we don't even know it anymore. And maybe this morning, as we come before the Lord, and maybe you want to just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding me once again it's about you. It's not about the packages, the tinsel, the nicely lit tree. It's about you, Jesus, being available, being willing, and being Lord of my life. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, before we come to the table of the Lord, maybe you want to say, somewhere along the line, I forgot really about you, Jesus, and I made this all about me, my life. It was all about me. Maybe it's time to rest in Jesus and let him do what he needs to do in you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you want to come to him and say, I want this about you, Jesus. I want my life to be about you. I don't want to be embarrassed anymore. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I want it to be about you, Jesus. I want my life to be about you. If you're willing to say that this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just lift your hand up. Just lift your hand up, saying, Jesus, I want this to be about you, not about me, about you. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees those hands. Maybe this morning you're here, and maybe a friend invited you, and now you've heard about Jesus. Maybe your friend's been trying to tell you who Jesus really is and that you need Jesus in your life. You can't walk this journey without him. And maybe you've never recognized how much love Jesus has for you. You didn't know that he came as a baby. You didn't know that he died on a cross to forgive you, wash you clean. That's the gift Jesus gives to you freely. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to achieve it. Jesus just gives it to you. And maybe today you want to say, Jesus, I want you in my life. Invade my life. Forgive me where I've wronged you. I want to enjoy Christmas. Come in my heart. Lord Jesus. Father, this morning we've come and we've talked about the name that is above every name, that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. We can't get away from that, nor do we want to. At times, God, we forget it. We neglect to even remember it, but we need to know it. You're Lord. You're our Savior. Nothing else matters except you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for accepting us, for loving us, for being there for us, for walking with us, for carrying us. Thank you, Jesus. Even though you could smite us, you care about us. Thank you, Jesus. Even when we hurt, you are there. You console when we grieve. You comfort us, God, when we're in pain. Thank you, Jesus. May we not be afraid, but may we walk worthy in order to be called your children. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'll ask the elders to come and prepare the Lord's table. It is here we are reminded of Emmanuel, God with us. The eternal God in fleshly human form surely is the most remarkable reality that we can know. Imagine the one who made the universe was reduced to the wobbliness of a toddler. Eternity was embodied in an earthly envelope. We celebrate this every time we receive the Lord's Supper. We hear the echo, "This is my body, my blood, given for you." Surely if God's Son offered himself for you in return, you can offer yourself to him in loving servanthood, in courageous acts, in kindness and compassion, loving one another. That is how you know Christmas, by representing God's love to someone else. This table is open to all those who've asked Jesus Christ to be a part of their living. This is not our table. It is not the table of this church. It is the Lord's table. We invite all who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who says that he is Lord in their life, to share in this observance. As you receive the bread and the cup, I'd ask that you wait until we all receive them. And let us signify the unity that we have together by partaking together on my indication. So with that in mind, I'll now ask Janice to pray for the bread, a symbol of Christ's body broken for you and me.
Dear Father, we just want to thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, into this world. Thank you, Jesus, that it is you that is Christmas. Thank you that you died on that cruel cross, that we may have our sins forgiven, that we may be redeemed, And further than that, that we may have a life worth living. Thank you, Father, for the joy and for the grace and the love that you give us. Thank you for dying for us. In Jesus' name, amen.